It is Tuesday, October 28th. We begin week 9. Welcome to the Fantasy Football Today podcast, brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com/CBSSports and use the offer code FUN. A lot of buys this week. Atlanta, Buffalo, Chicago, Detroit, Green Bay, Tennessee. Hello.
From the people who brought you by NATO. Here comes by NATO 2.
You know, it's very appropriate that you do that because it's Halloween week. You
right.
know, and it's kind of scary. And I have to confess that I was a little distracted last night during the game because Halloween 2 was on AMC.
Oh, so you were watching Halloween 2?
I was flipping.
Mm-hmm.
But I missed the touchdown because of it. But I love Halloween week, Dave.
I saw the scariest movie on Hallmark Channel. It was this love story between this girl who ran a florist shop and a guy who... I guess he was like a lawyer or something. I don't know. My wife was watching it, and it was just terrible. It freaked me out.
Oh, that is pretty scary. That was on which channel, you said?
Hallmark Channel?
Oh, yeah. I don't even know what channel that is.
Well, my wife
Happy
does.
To say. All right, anyway.
And
let's,
it was not last night.
Let's talk about today's show. Let's talk about today's show. We're going to go over the waiver wire, tell you who to pick up, also tell you who to drop. Got some stats to get to, some emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Jamie's coming in just a moment. So, stat of the day number one, Dave.
Yeah.
There were no punts in the Green Bay-New Orleans game. Third time in NFL history that's happened.
Is that the first time ever we've had a punting stat for stat of the day?
It might be. Did I win the bonanza?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think you came through.
Jordy Nelson did not come through.
Yeah, Jordy Nelson was not part of the bonanza.
But
he Mark Ingram
looked great, didn't he?
He looked great, and the Packers' run defense looked awful. And when you've got that combination working together, you're going to get a game like that. And I think you'll see him keep it up against Carolina. I love him this week.
All right. Stat of the day number two. Ben Roethlisberger was started in 24% of CBSSports.com leagues.
That's a bummer.
Oops.
Yeah, that's an oops. I moved him up on Saturday all the way to 14th in my rankings. Had that much confidence in Roethlisberger. But, yeah, doors kind of got blown off the Colts defense a little bit. Vontae Davis got hurt. And even if Vontae Davis had played four quarters, Roethlisberger would have had just an amazing game. And what have we been saying all along? He's needed another receiver.
Yeah.
Well, he got one in Martavis Bryant. Heath Miller stepped up and had a monster game. And the most important factor of all was that they were running the no huddle, and it looked like Todd right. Haley was not sticking his golf-loving nose into Ben Roethlisberger's football-loving business. And Big Ben went on to have a great day calling the shots for his offense.
I have a funny story. I think it's appropriate.
Okay. Go ahead.
Somebody texted me with a waiver wire question. Should I go with Vic or another quarterback? And then screenshotted me a bunch of quarterbacks. And Joe Flacco was one of the quarterbacks. And so I said, I would say Flacco, but it autocorrect to Flaccid. So I told this person to pick up Flaccid. Oops. I don't know why that's one of my autocorrects.
Yeah,
that's a bigger issue
autocorrect, Adam.
Right now. Hey, who's your number one waiver wire priority this week, Dave?
I think at this point in the season, it really depends on what you need. I think a lot of people are going to go in and chase Talaferro. I'm a huge Charles Sims guy. I've been one all along. And depending on what happens at the trade deadline, he could get in there too. I know Brandon LaFell. How many leagues is LaFell owned in? Do you know off the top of your head?
I will tell you in 1 second. 65%.
I've got him in a couple leagues. I'm going to try and get him in a couple more. Jonas Gray is another name that I'm excited about.
Well, I think Martavis Bryant deserves a mention.
Well, of course. And, yeah, he did great. If Reggie Wayne's out another week, I like Dante Moncrief quite a bit.
So it's a good week.
It's a good week.
Which
There's
is a
going
good
to be
thing.
A lot out there.
Since people need help.
I'm
week.
Worried about Martavis Bryant being a boom or bust type of fantasy receiver. But
yeah,
that's a lot better. It's just another name to add to the list and another name to consider. But, boy, he is fast, and he's made some great catches.
That's funny you say that because that's the problem I have with waiver wire wide receivers a lot of times. Is I just don't want to get caught picking up a guy after he had his two big games. Then he goes
You're
out
chasing the touchdowns.
Now, then you look at Andre Holmes, who – had his two big games, went out and stunk, and then came back last week, and now three out of four have been good.
Well, I mean, it was a garbage time touchdown. Yeah. It all counts the same, but it's not like he played great. It's really more like Derek Carr did not play great against Cleveland.
Right. All right, so we'll get to the waiver wire wide receivers in a bit. Email of the day is from Reggie from Charlotte, who predicted he would have the email of the day. And he had a good question, so I gave it to him. Is it time to start trading and acquiring your running back handcuffs? When is it necessary to acquire any wide receiver handcuffs?
There's almost rarely a wide receiver handcuff worth getting because you're assuming that there's a wide receiver behind a starting wide receiver that's just going to go and pick up all that work when the first string wide receiver gets hurt, when the second best wide receiver on a team typically plays every play anyway. So your handcuff for wide receivers are just more good wide receivers on other teams.
What if I made the case for Dante Moncrief if you're the T.Y. Hilton owner?
But I think that's fine, but I don't know if Dante Moncrief is going to do what T.Y. Hilton did.
No. But who on waivers is going to do what T.Y. Hilton
did? I would want Dante Moncrief whether I had Hilton or not.
Like, if you have Jordy Nelson,
a special priority.
If you have Jordy Nelson, you start him every week, and Devontae Adams is out there, and Martavis Bryant is out there. And maybe ordinarily you'd go Bryant if you didn't own Jordy Nelson, but you're just looking for bench depth right now. And you say, well, if Jordy gets hurt, Devontae Adams, I think I'd rather have the Martavis Bryant. Does that strategy make sense?
That strategy makes sense, but you could also say, I don't know if I necessarily... Well, yeah, I mean, if you've got Jordy and you've got another stud wide receiver and, A.J. Green, and your team's just loaded at receiver, yeah, then you don't have to necessarily go out and get Martavis, and then you feel a little better about yourself having Devontae Adams.
How about a running back handcuff? Do you have to have him now?
I think now's a real good time to get him.
Yeah.
And
okay.
That's the end of my sentence.
Tweet of the day number one is from Joe. Is Steve Smith Sr. simply in a slump, or is he set to start scoring stud stats in the second half of the season? Hashtag Fantasy Seuss. Is Steve Smith Sr. simply in a slump, or is he set to start scoring stud stats in the second half of the season? That's pretty good.
I haven't taken a close enough look at what Steve Smith's done lately. I can pull it up here. I know that the numbers have not been great, but I also know that he had a big touchdown called back last week.
I think it was a bad call the more I looked at it.
You think it wasn't?
At first I thought it was pass interference. Then I was like, yeah, it's kind of weak.
Okay, so last two games, he's had 14 targets, including 9 at Cincinnati, but only 6 catches for 102 yards and no touchdowns. That makes my tummy hurt. I think he'll continue to play a lot and be a regular target in this offense, but I know that they like running the ball, and when they get in the red zone, and specifically inside the 10, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for him.
Is he droppable?
I think I'd pick him up if I saw him out there. I think you're in a tight spot with him.
All right, tweet of the day number two is from Jonathan. Can y'all talk about Charles Sims going forward? At 1-6, do they see what they have in the rookie, PPR versus standard? So, yeah, I know you said you're a big fan of his, Charles Sims.
Yeah,
what do you expect?
I've already
going
picked
forward?
Him up on a couple of my deep roster leagues, 14-team league. I'm not sure if I have him in my 20-team league or my 16-team league, but I think the time's right to start going to pick him up in 10- and 12-team leagues as well on the chance that he becomes the guy for Tampa Bay. And we thought, again, I said it back in August, and I'll say it again now. I thought he would have been the best guy to draft from that running back group, especially with a late round pick.
Did you talk about Bobby Rainey earlier?
No.
He's been pretty successful.
Back in August, it was Doug Martin's a good pick, but also look at Charles Sims late. And if you can get both, that's great. And then Charles Sims got hurt, and that really pushed up Doug Martin into, top 15-ish, maybe even top 12 fantasy running back territory. And if Doug Martin gets shipped at the trade deadline or gets benched because he's averaging less than 3 yards per carry, then you're going to see Charles Sims get a lot of work. It's just a matter of whether or not he's healthy.
And what about Bobby Rainey? Because, earlier the year when he was filling in for Doug Martin, he played very well.
Could be the passing downs guy early on. But if Sims plays to what everybody thinks he'll be, including the Tampa Bay coaching staff, you won't see Rainey on the field very much.
All right, Jamie's here. Are we ready for the dropometer or the dropometer?
Sure.
Are you ready?
I'm wondering what people would say if we started doing a column called Dropometer, where we just made a list of players that were ready to drop.
I think it's great.
Okay.
I'll write it.
Oh, really?
No. Okay, 0 to 10. 0 is don't drop under any circumstances. 10 is drop immediately. Doug Martin.
Drop immediately.
No, because what if he gets traded to a team where he ends up in a good situation with a better offensive line? And that's one of the problems against Charles Sims is that he'll still have to deal with that offensive
line. Who's trading for running backs now?
I don't know, but there's rumors out there saying that teams might be interested. Maybe they can get Doug Martin for running back depth for a seventh-round pick.
You guys have already botched this. You're supposed to give a number and then an explanation.
I'm giving a four. I'm pretty sure he said...
You would have said 10.
15.
I'll say four today.
You have broken the drop-o-meter.
I'll say four today, but tomorrow it could be a 10.
When's the trade deadline? 4
today,
o'clock?
4 o'clock on Tuesday.
All right, so by the time you're making your waiver claims, by tonight it could be a 10. If he stays on the Buccaneers, is it 10?
He's a 10.
Or a 15. Matt Asiata.
9.
Kendall Wright.
7.
6.
Actually, bye week, so 10.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Wes Welker.
I have him in the column as a drop, and I'm nervous for this week. Like, I wait a week.
Oh, right. He's got New England.
Is New England going to be thrown a lot? And same thing with Edelman. They're going to be thrown a lot.
Oh, he's my next guy, Julian.
So it's kind of like and I.
Do you feel comfortable starting Wes Welker?
No, but
this week?
I think if you're in three receiver leagues and you're sort of bye week, you know.
Yeah.
Craziness.
Yeah, it is the bye Nato too.
I'd hold him for a week, but in 10-team leagues though, if you're looking at Bryant on waivers, if you're looking at LaFell on waivers, you're looking at all these guys that have just more upside, then you drop them.
Yeah. And Edelman the same. Same boat as Welker, or is he?
I think
less
he's a
droppable?
Little bit. I think he's less droppable. I'd put him at like a 5.
Jason Witten. Damn, Jason
Witten.
We
did the everyone curse again.
Yeah.
Where we say sit him for everyone, and then he goes off and he has a big game. He's a 5-2. I don't know if I'm ever going to feel comfortable starting Jason Witten.
He does have 2 touchdowns in his last 3 games. If that's something to look at, you know. So.
And he's facing Arizona. And they. Struggle.
Stink against tight ends. Yeah. And it is by Nato, too.
And I think the most encouraging thing was that Gavin Escobar had donut for targets.
Yeah. Right. Percy Harvin.
Which is weird. I wonder why that was the case. Harvin's like an 8. I don't get it. I don't see it. I don't want it. Why would I start him? When would I start him?
They gave him 4 carries.
I'm happy for him.
All right, he's an 8 for you. Jamie Percy Harvin.
Yeah. I think it's... It's more 10-team leagues. If he's available, if I see him dropped in a 12-team league and I have an open roster spot or somebody I don't need, I'll pick him up. But in a 10-team league, 8-team league, 10.
I'd rather have Charles Sims.
Who's more droppable?
I would too. I'm just saying, you know, if you're looking at it and you can't get Charles Sims, who's more droppable?
Edelman, Welker, Harvin. Most droppable.
Harvin.
Edelman.
Oh,
Edelman
Welker?
Is the most droppable?
Yeah.
Really?
He doesn't score touchdowns anymore.
Don't do anything.
See, I feel the way about Edelman that you do about Welker. Like, I kind of like him this week.
Oh, I wouldn't do it this week. I would hold this week if you can. But I think you just look at it as...
We're talking about Julian Edelman. Just making sure that's clear. Not Ralph Edelman.
Edelman. Matt Ryan.
But look at Edelman's numbers. They've been horrendous.
Yeah.
It would only... It's a 2, and that's only if you need space in a 10-team league because he's on bye.
Matt Ryan?
Yeah.
What size league?
10-team league.
No, 12-team league.
12-team league, he's a 5. 10-team league, he's a 10.
Why'd you say
it,
too?
Because I think he can bounce back from this.
Oh, he absolutely can.
Yeah, so then why would
you could pick him up off waivers if you need to, but it's a bye week situation right now, and I think, look, if you can get... If you look at it and you say, okay, next week, who's better from next week on? Right now, can you say definitively it's Matt Ryan or Kyle Orton?
No, but you say it's definitively a lot of guys are Kyle Orton the way.
But that's the point.
I don't know if that makes him a 10.
Well, if 2 guys are on waivers and they're sort of you're looking at right now, who can I cut and then maybe pick back up next week? I'm not saying to look. I would hold Matt Ryan if you can.
You
can't give him a 10.
In a 10-team league, I would give him a 10 for this week. Cut him right now and then pick him up next week if you can. But for this week, 10. Right now. Not playing and no certainty that the coaching staff is the same. No certainty that
coaching staff's going to be the same.
I would agree, but it's not certainty. The way Arthur
pretty
Blake
sure the quarterback is going to be the same. Just saying, don't think they're going to bench Matt Ryan.
No, they're not benching him. But his offensive line's as good as you.
Well,
that's offensive.
Sorry, you're better than his offensive line. I apologize.
I meant to his offensive line, but okay, we'll take it that way.
Marcus Colston, drop-o-meter.
3, 4, Not ready to drop him.
Zero.
Reggie Bush.
I think that one depends on league size and league scoring. 10-team standard league, I'd put him pretty high. I wonder if the Lions could bench him.
10-team league, it's a 10. Again, same situation.
Right, right. I was going to say like an 8 in a standard 10-team league.
No need for him this week, and no guarantee that he'll help you going forward.
Right.
Probably in PPR, he'll still help you, though, right?
Yeah, but not a lot. And if they need to go back and look at what Theo Riddick's done, and he's at least just as good as Reggie Bush.
Remember the offensive coordinator and where he came from. Shuffle running back through in New Orleans. Shuffle running back through in Detroit.
Didn't really do that, though, when both Bush and
Bell
were healthy.
Because Theo Riddick was not healthy either, and now he's healthy.
But Bush and Riddick haven't been healthy in the same game.
Exactly, that's the point.
I think the question is,
so you think
if Reggie was healthy, would he have done what Theo Riddick did?
I don't see why not.
I don't see why not either. But think about what's going on in New Orleans when Thomas and Cadet have been healthy the last 2-3 games prior to last week. And I think it could be something like that, where you don't know who's going to be the better of the two between those two guys.
And we saw that earlier
this
year.
I don't have a problem if I'm cutting him in a 10-team league. I don't own him, but I would. In a 12-team league, if somebody cuts him, I'd speculate on it. So a 12-team league for me would be a 5.
Okay. Bryce Brown with a bye.
I'd like a 2. We're waiting on Bryce Brown.
10-team league, it'd be like a 4. 12-team league, I agree with that, it'd be a 2.
Anthony Dixon.
Same.
No. No way. Definitely more droppable. You average 2 yards per carry.
So did Brown. And Dixon had 3 times as many carries.
I know. Exactly. So more opportunity was given to Dixon. If he's going to get me 4 fantasy points on 20 carries, I don't need that on my team. He's like a 6 to a 7. 6.5.
Trey Mason.
5.
Less. You're cutting him more than you are.
Yeah, you're right. I shouldn't be that high on
Bryce Brown.
It's got to be like a
2 or 3.
You're
just pissed at him.
I'm more pissed at Jeff Fisher. I have a feeling that Benny Cunningham might get more work now. I don't have anything behind it.
I don't see anything more than what they did last week happen.
No, Jeff Fisher said Monday that he wants to try and start getting some clarity, and he talked up Cunningham a little bit more than the other backs.
Because he's the only one that could pass block and catch the ball.
Right, so they might as well use him.
Yeah, unfortunately, they have at San Francisco, at Arizona, and then Denver in their next 3
And
games.
I'm pretty sure that's the reason why Jamie wanted nothing to do with Trey Mason in the first place, because of that schedule.
I really was under the impression that Zach Stacy was not healthy. And so they were going to...
How do you feel about him after last week?
He obviously got work, so he's healthy. Yeah. He's not good, but he's... It wasn't necessarily about Zach Stacy. It was about Trey Mason.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, right.
I think Mason's the best talent there.
Oh, agree.
So Benny Cunningham
on... Based on what
on
I've
the,
seen from Zach this year.
Benny Cunningham on the dropometer.
I dropped him in our Fantasy Football Today League. If any of you guys want to pick him up, feel free.
No, I'm okay.
Right. Yeah.
So go ahead. He's a 10.
All right, injuries, news, and notes presented by Squarespace. Aaron Rodgers hurt his hamstring, but he should be fine by week 10. They have a bye this week. Tony Romo bruised his back last night. He came back in, but it was a little scary.
Yeah.
And they're going to get an MRI on Romo.
Kind of reminded me of week 1 Tony when he came back in.
Yeah, and last year, remember, he hurt his back, came back in, and then he had back surgery.
Now, they said it was a contusion. That seems to be in line with... him being okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hope so. Jerry Jones got a lot of FaceTime last night. I'm sure he was quite happy about
it.
What a shock.
The irony of it was that they had him on mic'd up.
Yeah.
Right as Romo gets hurt.
Did they let him go when Romo got hurt? Did they say, we'll let you go, Jerry?
No, because they went to a commercial. Yeah, I actually didn't see when Romo got hurt because I was watching. I saw Jerry Jones on the screen. I looked down for a second, and then all of a sudden I saw him. I must have just not been paying attention. I saw him come back from commercial. Romo was on the ground. I was like,
missed. I saw part of the interview. I missed him getting hurt because Michael Myers was chasing his sister Laurie Strode at that point in Halloween 2, and I was flipping
back and forth.
Yeah. So, all right, Michael.
It was a boring game up to that point.
Yeah, second half was really good though.
The fourth quarter and overtime were awesome. Mm-hmm.
Michael Vick's going to start for the Jets. They're at Kansas City. We'll talk about him. He had 4 fumbles. Geno Smith had 3 picks in a quarter, and Michael Smith fumbled 4 times and lost 2 of them. Alex Smith strained his shoulder, but Andy Reid thinks he'll be fine. So he's a guy that people might have to pick up this week with a lot of quarterbacks on bye, and they're facing the Jets, who stink. The NFL Network reporting that Giovanni Bernard's hip injury is not a big deal, and they've got Jacksonville at home.
Bionic Geo.
The best run defense in the NFL at home. ESPN New York's Dan Graziano would be surprised if Rashad Jennings plays this week. They've got the Colts on Monday night.
They're going to throw a ton anyway.
Brian Quick out for the season with a shoulder injury. D'Angelo Williams expected to play Thursday. They have New Orleans at home. Huge game, actually.
Yeah, it really is.
Isaiah Crowell losing carries because of poor ball security. So he's droppable, right?
Yep.
I think so. I hate saying that because I love him, but we might come back for him off waivers at some point.
Marvin Lewis did not guarantee A.J. Green's return this week against Jacksonville. And on defense, we got Lamar Houston, Chicago defensive end, tearing his ACL, celebrating a sack.
What a dummy.
On offense, we have Jake Long, tearing his ACL, which he did last season, so more bad news for St. Louis.
Trying to stop a sack.
Yeah. Patrick Peterson's going to go through the concussion protocol. They're at Dallas. That'd be big.
That was a big hit he took.
John Beeson's out for the year with a toe injury. Vontae Davis, we talked about him. They're facing the Giants Monday night. He has a knee injury. Not sure
he
of his
might
status.
Play. He might play.
Detroit defensive tackle Nick Fairley out 4 to 5 weeks with a sprained MCL and PCL. And pretty significant for what was going into the game. Probably still the number one defense in the NFL.
Yeah, but you know what? They actually looked just fine without him.
Jimmy Smith, Baltimore cornerback, out a few weeks with a foot injury.
Bad timing for Baltimore because here comes Roethlisberger.
Justin Durant was playing well for Dallas,
yes,
the linebacker, and he tore his biceps. He's likely out for the year. Do you expect RG3 at Minnesota?
No.
No.
Doug Martin at Cleveland?
No.
No.
Kyrie Robinson?
No.
At Carolina?
No.
Stephon Taylor?
No, he's going to be out for a little while with a calf injury.
Owen Daniels at Pittsburgh?
I don't think so.
No.
Darren Sproles at Houston?
Not as of yet.
And Ryan Matthews at Miami.
He's getting closer, and Brandon Oliver's carriage is turning into a pumpkin. I like referencing Cinderella.
That's cool. It must be all that Hallmark Network you've been watching.
I don't watch Hallmark Channel.
Yeah, you don't? That's not what I heard. All right, today's podcast brought to you by Squarespace, where you can easily create your own professional website or your online portfolio. And Squarespace is always getting better. Better platforms and new features and new designs and better customer support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, if you get on Squarespace, you're going to find it's very easy to use. But if you need some help, again, that customer support's great. And you're going to find that it's cheap. It starts at just $8 a month and includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. And, of course, you want your website to look good on every device, your phone, your tablet, whatever. It's going to look great on every mobile device. So start a free trial, no credit card required. Start building your website today and use the offer code FUN to get 10% off when you go to Squarespace. You'll also be supporting our podcast if you use that offer code FUN. So thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring our show. That's Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website. You guys have any thoughts on Monday Night Football before we go to the waiver wire?
Well, yeah, 5 targets for Andre Roberts.
How annoyed are you with Pierre Garçon?
Pretty annoyed, but he can't help it. He only gets four. He only got 4 targets, caught them all, did what he could. I'm more annoyed with Colt McCoy for attempting 30 passes and only throwing 4 of them at PG.
I would buy very, very low if you can, just to see what happens when RG3 comes.
Right, because RG3, we know, will throw at him more than 4 times a game.
Jordan Reed still a must-start tight end?
Mm.
He has not taken advantage of these good opportunities.
Yeah, but I think he's...
They didn't use him very well last night at all.
Right.
It was all not third down overtime. Situations.
Yeah, that's the thing. Niles Paul was on the field a lot.
Because they were trying to max protect. A lot of just third down situations. Every passing down situation, put it that way. Every time they were in second and long or third and long, and John Gruden kept calling it. Here it goes.
Yeah.
Here goes Jordan Reed.
And well, because Colt McCoy, I mean, he locked in on his receivers so much, especially Jordan Reed. But, all right. DeMarco Murray's really good, by the way.
He is not bad.
Unbelievable. What a fantasy.
I don't know why they didn't.
So many guys.
I don't know why they didn't use him more.
They didn't have the ball that much. Time of possession was very lopsided.
Alfred Morris was very impressive.
Yeah, it was
encouraging. Well, the second half was impressive. First half looked like what we thought was going to happen. But he had some good runs, and now he's got the Vikings this week.
Mm-hmm.
Should do better than the Bucs guys did.
Mm-hmm. Quarterbacks to target on the waiver wire. So RG3, you don't expect this week.
Nope, but if you've got a quarterback with a late season bye, you might be able to pick him up and wait a little bit.
So the guys to target, Jamie put Andy Dalton on here. He's 82% owned, so that's shallower leagues. But A.J. Green could play this week. Dalton would be a much better play with A.J. Green. He's got Jacksonville.
I believe we projected Green to play.
Yes.
Okay.
Green said he's going to play.
So how many fantasy points are you thinking for Andy Dalton?
He'll be in that 20-ish range.
Eli Manning, number two, he's 76% owned, so again, shallower leagues. 20 fantasy points or more in four or five games. Got the Colts on Monday night. Schedule gets pretty tough, though, at Seattle, San Francisco at home, Dallas at
home. Seattle.
Yeah, I know. Ryan Tannehill, 72% owned. Either 48 or 49 rushing yards in three straight games. Got San Diego this week. RG3, 43% owned. So, okay, shallower leagues, Dalton, Eli, Tannehill. That's Jamie's order. How about you, Dave?
If it's for this week, I'd go Dalton, Eli, and Tannehill. And I really feel like that's the way it needs to be. But for those in deeper leagues, I don't have Cincinnati's. Well, hold on. Is this Cincinnati's schedule coming up? Jacksonville, Cleveland, at New Orleans? Yeah, I guess Dalton is better than Eli rest of season.
There isn't a lot of good quarterback options for just the 1 week.
Right, yeah. I mean, you're looking at Kyle Orton.
Orton might
who's
be
on
a
guy bye,
you look
excuse
at
me. He's on a bye.
For rest of season, too.
Yeah, rest of season for sure. But for the guy that's without Rodgers or Cutler or Stafford or Ryan that needs somebody for this week, mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about you gamble on Alex Smith with the shoulder problem, and you know last week he became the first guy not to get two touchdowns against the Rams. Could he be the first guy not to, destroy the Jets?
Right.
And then you're also talking about Vic, do you want to buy into him? I mean, that's.
I think the encouraging thing with Vic is the rushing yards, 69.
Well, it would be if you can, limit the turnovers. And he's going into a hostile place to play. He's facing a coach who knows him.
So who would you rather have, Smith or Vic?
At this point, I might just gamble on Hoyer, just mm-hmm. looking at it. If I needed somebody for this week, because Hoyer's got at least, a good matchup against Tampa Bay.
All right. That works. And Zach Mettenberger, maybe two quarterback leagues. He's on a bye this week, but did throw for 299 yards and had 19 fantasy points against Houston at Baltimore in week 10, Pittsburgh week 11, at Philadelphia week 12. So not a great week in deeper leagues for quarterbacks on the waiver wire, but hopefully you get something good out of Hoyer or Smith or Vic. Running backs. Before we get to running backs, I was very disappointed that I did not win in FanDuel. Got off to a great start, and then Michael Floyd and Jordy Nelson happened. Yeah. And Jordan Reed happened as well.
But you know what else happened?
What's that?
Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski happened.
Yeah, well, I had Brady and Foster, so after the 1 o'clock games, I was like, ooh,
yeah,
I might have a good week.
Yeah, but I love getting the double points, and I got them with those two guys.
Oh, you had a good week?
I cashed.
All right.
Finally cashed in the Sunday Million this year. It only took 8 weeks, but I did it, and I added some money to my account.
Well,
hooray for me.
If you don't know about FanDuel, it's the leader in one-week fantasy football. Go to FanDuel.com. They're paying out huge money this season, paying more to winners than all other fantasy sites combined. And this Sunday, check out FanDuel's $3 million tournament.
That's amazing.
$25 to enter, and the top winner gets $500,000 cash. Starts Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. So go to FanDuel.com. Use my code, CBSWIN, CBSWIN. They're going to match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $200. And again, go to FanDuel.com, and before Sunday's games, click that microphone in the upper right corner and use the code CBSWIN.
Hold on a second. So first prize is $500,000.
Yeah.
26,405th place gets $50. So you double your money if you finish in 26,000th place.
We should be able to do that.
Who couldn't finish in 26,000th place?
Nobody listens to this podcast.
Well, hold on. I got 10,760th place.
Nice.
In my lap, do you want to hear what the $500,000 lineup was this past week?
Sure.
Brady, Chris Ivory, Arian Foster. So pieces of your lineup, Adam.
Yeah.
You got close.
That could have been me.
Brandon LaFell.
I also had Ingram.
Brandon LaFell. James Jones was in the winning lineup. I think that could have been somebody even better than that. Macklin, Gronk.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Folk, and that could have been any kicker, and then the Dolphins D. And just as a fun tip and just things I've learned along the way playing the FanDuel one-week games, don't skimp on your quarterback. Pair your quarterback with his best receiver, and don't skimp on a defense. If you do those three things and you hit on the quarterback, you should be on your way to easy street.
Let's look at running backs to add. Denard Robinson is 71% owned. Do you guys think he's going to be really good rest of season?
You have to at this point.
We poo-pooed him because of how the Browns' defense looked 2 weeks ago. And we knew that the Dolphins' run defense was pretty good. They were missing one of their linebackers, but he had been in and out of their lineup all along. And Robinson proved it again. And I still have to go back and watch, but because I didn't see much of the game live. But you have to be impressed with what he did. And you have to be impressed with the amount of work he got, 18 carries, when they were playing from behind for much of the game. They also did dominate time of possession, if I do recall correctly, because there were two defensive touchdowns by the Dolphins.
Right, and it's not a terrible schedule. It's not a bad schedule at all for Denard Robinson. At Cincinnati this week, Dallas, then a bye. At Indianapolis, then the Giants, then Houston. At Baltimore is really tough. But you could be starting Denard Robinson against Tennessee, who's right now is 27th against the run in Week 16 in your fantasy championship.
Let's put it this way. You could do a lot worse than Denard Robinson, and the people who went out and got him, maybe you got him because he was the third best guy last week to pick up, or maybe you just thought that we were full of it with Trey Mason and Bryce Brown. But if you got him, you got something good.
Lorenzo Taliaferro would be the number two priority. He scored 2 touchdowns on 7 carries. He's averaging 4.4 yards per carry. He's at Pittsburgh this week.
And it looks like he's the big-time physical running back behind Justin Forsett. Now, we know Gary Kubiak, and we know that he likes to play games. At least he did us the favor of making Bernard Pierce inactive. You know,
I love how you referred to him like he's the coach. Gary Kubiak did us the favor.
Fine. It was John Harbaugh who made the decision, but I'm sure Gary Kubiak played a role.
No, it's just funny. Like, it's just the way you phrase
it. Oh, yeah, John Harbaugh's there, too. Yeah, whatever.
Hey, John, here's what we're doing.
arms all right, folded. So Taliaferro's 2. Jeremy Hill is 3. Jamie, you still like him better than Rainey and Sims with the news on Gio?
I think, until you know for sure, just imagine a scenario of Tuesday runs, you don't get Hill. Somebody else does. And then all of a sudden, Gio can't go through practice, or he tries to go through practice, and he realizes something's wrong. There's a reason he missed 8 minutes of the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that they're downplaying it. I'm glad they're downplaying it. That was a very competitive game coming down the stretch. And I just would – if it's me, I would rather have the Bengals starter than the Bucks starter.
For 1 week, if Jeremy Hill was starting, you think he'd be better than Denard Robinson this week?
No. I'd rather have Robinson this week.
Okay. Bobby Rainey is 4, and Charles Sims is 5. We've talked about that. Jonas Gray is 6.
I love the schedule for Tampa Bay, though, coming up.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's going to be multiple guys?
Yeah, sure. It needs to be one guy. You're right.
Now, Jonas Gray is 6th, and he got 17 carries. And if you're thinking, well, he just got it because it was a blowout, 9 carries in the first quarter, mm-hmm. 14 of his 17 by halftime.
Yep.
But that was a favorable matchup where they know they can run. And that's right. It's Ridley. Just think of him as Ridley. If you think they're going to run, pencil him in.
And he's got Denver this week, which has been good against the run, and then a bye, and then at Indianapolis, and then Detroit.
Yeah.
Jonathan Stewart, Travaris Cadet. Stewart, is it hands off, though, because of D'Angelo?
Yeah, D'Angelo's coming back. It's going to make a mess.
I can't imagine they're going to go right back to D'Angelo, because Stewart actually looked pretty good last week.
Jawan Thompson is on here. He scored twice. He's got an 8, 6, and 7 carries
against New England, by the way,
in his last 3 games. And then he's got at Oakland, and then at St. Louis.
Hooray.
But Monte Ball could be back by then.
So what?
And then just other guys to target are handcuffs and Devontae Freeman. I mean, we're talking desperation here. And Theo Riddick. Would you rather have Riddick? Well, they're on a bye, so that's a stupid question. I was going to say him or Cadet in a PPR league, but never mind.
Cadet. But rest of season, it might be Riddick.
Do you guys have anything to say about these running backs?
It's just, you know, flyers.
Yeah. Right. Riddick is a flyer just based on, you know, Joik Bell isn't always healthy and Reggie Bush clearly has things that are keeping him off the field.
Do you think
if you're in a really deep league, I like the idea of picking up Riddick.
Do you think Jonas Gray should be owned in every 12-team league?
Yes.
All right, then. We're done with Sankey?
We were for several weeks now.
And he's on a bye. Wide receivers to look at. Brandon LaFell. Brandon LaFell or Denard Robinson? Who would be a higher priority for you guys?
Robinson.
It's Robinson because of the position. But LaFell's out there in more leagues.
LaFell, 3 big games in his last 5. The other two were
quiet. He's been getting the time, and Brady's throwing. It's a good combination. When you play a lot in that offense, you're bound to get some numbers.
Top 24 receiver this week, Brandon LaFell against Denver?
I think so.
Yeah, if you're expecting them to be a shootout, absolutely.
Martavis Bryant, number 2. Mike Evans, number 3. Odell Beckham, number 4. Jamie, make sense of Bryant, Evans, Beckham.
Well, I think you look at Bryant and the big difference for that Steelers passing game the last 2 weeks. And so, you know, think about what Emmanuel Sanders was for them last year. Think about how, you know, they've gone through Roethlisberger's tenure, you know, typically having 2 guys that make plays. And so I think you look at it as take a gamble on him. Evans could start to emerge as the better of the two receivers in Tampa Bay. You know, yeah. Vincent Jackson looks like he's checked out a little bit. And obviously Evans is their future. So, you know, you look at his production the last few games comparatively, why not? And then Beckham, you said?
Yes.
As the third one. I think you got to just like the way he played prior to their bye week. So they need somebody to step up and replace Victor Cruz. I had trouble kind of slotting him in to that spot, you know, where I wanted to put him.
Well, look, this is a big week for wide receivers to be
There's
added.
There's a ton on waivers.
Injured guys and guys on bye. I mean, Calvin Johnson, Golden Tate, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Davante Adams, Brandon Marshall, blah, 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 Alshon Jeffrey, so Sammy Watkins, Julio, and Roddy. People need wide receivers. Who's going to be good this week? Good enough to start as a number two or a number three receiver?
I think Bryant is at the head of the class.
Yeah.
Just because.
And LaFell, obviously.
LaFell is too, but I actually, you're going to get a better chance at getting Bryant than LaFell.
Yeah.
Because he's out there in more leagues. So I would go right to Bryant. I would pass over LaFell, believe it or not.
Do you feel good about Evans?
And I think that there's staying power with Bryant too, rest of the season.
Do you put their staying power with LaFell? Like, rest of the season, would you pick up Bryant or LaFell?
The one thing I know about New England is that when it gets cold, they run more. And that's just kind of their MO. And I don't know if the Steelers are going to be in many close, low-scoring games.
Really?
I don't think so. I don't think that defense is quite what people think it is. And it's not what
people I'm sorry. Low-scoring. They'll be in close games.
They'll be in close games. But yeah. I think they'll be high-scoring games.
The thing with Bryant...
as a rookie receiver.
We have to remember, Ben Roethlisberger threw for 522 yards, 6 touchdowns. So his numbers are going to be
huge. You don't
think
he's going to do that every week?
Probably not.
But if he does 250 and 2 touchdowns a week, I don't have it in front of me how much Martavis Bryant played, but I would imagine he played a lot.
This is my question. Is Bryant kind of a Kenny Stills type guy where he's going to get big plays, potentially touchdowns?
Well, yeah, 5 for 80-some-odd yards.
He did, but again, 522
passes. No, I get it. I think you just have to sort of take it for buy-in now and ride it while it's hot. Because you look at Roethlisberger's numbers at home. He's been very good at home. So home game this week against a team that's missing their best cornerback. So they have to now shuffle. And obviously they have to account for Antonio Brown. And so you see now Bryant is somebody that Roethlisberger feels comfortable with, and the targets will be up. But to your point, Adam, Marcus Wheaton is still going to play a role. Lance Moore is still going to play a role. Heath Miller is still going to play a role. Le'Veon Bell in the backfield is going to play a role. So there's going to be weeks where Bryant disappears, a la Kenny Stills. Somebody that's not developed a route tree yet, doesn't know how to, you know, get out of coverage fully. So there's going to be a lot of things that he struggles with as teams figure him out. Remember, he's on tape twice. So LaFell, the thing that, you know, and Dave's been hammering this home about his playing time. Now, he's one of the best run-blocking wide receivers that we've seen over the last few years, which is why New England acquired him. Because he's on the field so much and because he's really the only guy when they go to their base package that can do this as opposed to this, you know, go vertical as opposed to horizontal, along now with Gronkowski in the seam, that's why I think he's been such a factor. Also, consistency is a problem for him because this is now good game, bad game, good game, bad game. The reason I think he has consecutive good games for the first time this year is because of the opponent.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, not Wheaton. I'm glad I looked this up. I'm going to change my tune. Martavis Bryant only played 32 snaps, 39%. I thought he played way more than that out of 83 snaps total.
I think you can kind of compare him to John Brown, big play
right.
guys.
Yeah.
Brown is fifth on your list behind LaFell, Bryant, Evans, and Beckham. Brown had 5 catches, 119 yards, and a touchdown on 10 targets. Second game with 17 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues, but Brown has 4 games with 4 fantasy points or less. You think he can get it done at Dallas, or is he a little risky?
John Brown?
Yes.
Well, if Floyd is not 100%, now he hurt his knee early in the game against the Eagles. So if he's not 100%, Brown had more targets. And Bruce Arians, and I don't know if Bruce Arians said it or one of the receivers said it, somebody said it, maybe it was just the Cardinals media, that this offense is diverse and they're going to spread the ball around. It's not going to be just one guy. And so I think in a game where they're going to be throwing a lot, you can look at all three. I have all three ranked, I think, in my top 26 or 27. So I think Brown has an opportunity here to have another good game.
So who's a better guy to add, John Brown or Dante Moncrief?
Brown has more staying power.
Right, because what's going to happen to Moncrief when Reggie
Wayne
gets healthy?
But if Wayne's out this week,
Oh, that's different.
Who's better just for week 9?
I think they're kind of the same, to be honest with you. I don't have a problem with that, but I think also you look at it as Dallas is getting spread thin a little bit defensively, and you have a quarterback who's hot, who has the chance to throw with a lot of success. We're going to talk to Tracy Wolfson on Fantasy Football Today, assuming everything works out, at noon. And I know I put in that as a question. What's Dante Moncrief's staying power rest of season?
Yeah.
You know, so hopefully she'll answer. And the reason we're asking her is because
she was there, right?
She was there this past week.
All right, guys, I got to speed this up a little bit here. So tell me how you feel about Allen Robinson this week.
I like him rest of season too. I think he should be part of this conversation.
Yeah.
Because he's getting a lot of targets and he's been doing very well in Jacksonville. And he's been making better progress than some of the other rookie receivers that we've talked about.
Two straight games with a touchdown. How about Andrew Hawkins and Andre Holmes?
Two more guys that I think should be talked about. I don't think people are going to run out and get Holmes just because of who he is and where he's playing this week at Seattle and what team he's on. So not a lot of time spent on him. He won't be picked up in a lot of leagues, but I think Andrew Hawkins is still going to be a regular part, especially if Jordan Cameron's out for a while. Opens the door for a lot of targets for Andrew Hawkins. And they're having a hard time running the football without Alex Mack in their center.
And they're playing Tampa Bay. So, I mean, is Hawkins a better gamble this week than Martavis Bryant?
He might be.
Safer?
In a PPR league, he's definitely safer.
No.
Why not?
Because we've seen them when they run the ball. I know what your point about Mack is 100% accurate. But when they try to run the ball and when they're ahead, they don't throw with a lot of success. And so I think Hawkins is worth adding, sure, but Bryant's big play capability, his touchdown capability. I mean, Hawkins has, what, one touchdown on the season?
One or two.
Yeah.
So Bryant did that in a game. You know, so I take my chances on Bryant for sure over Hawkins.
Just the matchups. Well, you're right about Jimmy Smith. Changes things a little bit. All right, tight ends then. Let's talk about Larry Donnell, 76% owned, but he's Jamie's number one this week. They're facing Indianapolis. Heath Miller. Back in the Kool-Aid. You know, this Pittsburgh game is really – whether or not this was a total fluke or a sign of things to come is going to have a big impact on fantasy in terms of Roethlisberger, Miller, Martavis Bryant.
The thing that sells it for me, honestly, is the way he's been playing at home. And I should have looked at that more.
Was he really that good at home?
He's been 18 or more at every home
game.
That's
nothing.
But not that. I mean, look, you're right. That game against the Colts, look, Vontae Davis got hurt in the game. That took away their best cornerback. Who was the defensive lineman that got hurt? The defensive lineman.
Redding. Oh, for Indianapolis?
Yeah.
Corey Redding.
Yeah, that hurt their line play.
Yeah, they fell apart. So, but Roethlisberger was on fire from the get-go.
Oh, yeah, but their coverage was a mess. You know, so could he be 302? Yeah. Against Baltimore without Jimmy Smith? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Heath Miller against Baltimore.
Yeah. I don't think he does what he did last week.
No,
I don't think he does half of that.
But look at tight end play. I mean, Zach Ertz had a dream matchup on the table last week, and he couldn't take advantage of it. Jason Witten has been up and down. You don't know which guy's going to show up. Are you willing to buy into Tim Wright, who's got 3 touchdowns in 4 games? Or do you want to go to Heath Miller, who at least you know is going to be a significant factor in the passing game target-wise? So it's all a matter of what your preference is.
But he hasn't been. He's had some games. I like Wright better this week.
I don't disagree. But I think it's just a matter of if you miss on Wright, are you going
then
to
do you fall back
Gavin
on Miller?
Escobar? Are you going to Clay Harbor? Are you going to Charles Clay? It's just, okay, close your eyes and point. You know, like Pete Prisco likes to say, you reach your hand in, you grab a running back, and that's what it is.
Well, do you feel like if you go to Jace Amaro, you're going to get 5 or 6 points and not risk a zero?
I would probably take a chance on Amaro in a PPR league more so than Heath Miller. That's a very fair point. But like Austin Seferian Jenkins, wow, he scored a touchdown last week. Do you want Mike Glennon's guy or do you want the hot quarterback's guy?
Yeah, it's a good point. I can't wait for that game, by the way. Mm-hmm. Some good games this week.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if Denver and New England is not going to be a Sunday night game, it might as well be Baltimore-Pittsburgh. All right, other tight ends to target in deeper league. Well, Kyle Rudolph, you talked about on Sunday night. They got Washington this week, then a bye, and then he could be back, right? I mean, you know, we're not expecting him this week.
When is he eligible to return?
This week, I believe.
Is it?
Well, this is Sims week too, right? So
it doesn't mean that they're both can, but you might be right.
No, Rudolph got hurt week one. So he's
week three,
I think.
It was definitely not week one.
He played three games, Kyle Rudolph, so I think he got hurt during week three.
Okay, so he still got
three.
Some time before he can.
Yeah, so after the bye for Kyle Rudolph, you're looking at Chicago, who right now, I mean, the Gronkowski game and the Tim Wright changes things. But mid-November. They currently are the worst against tight ends.
They're hopeful that he's back in mid-November.
All right. Yeah, it's not a great list. Luke Wilson, Michael Rivera, Lance Kendricks, Chase Ford. Check out the column, but try to get yourself Larry Donnell or Heath Miller or Timothy Wright or Jason Morrow for this week. DSTs to stream. The Browns face Tampa Bay. The Chiefs have the Jets and Michael Vick. The Bengals get Jacksonville. We saw what that meant for the Dolphins. They were great. The Vikings get Washington, and the Saints are at Carolina on Thursday. Thoughts on these guys, this group?
I like them all. I don't know how much you want to trust the Saints, but
right. You know. The offensive line for Carolina could be even worse than it was last week. It was banged up last week, and there might be some more injuries that take starters off the field.
And that defense got as big a confidence boost as it could possibly.
Yeah, yep.
You go on
and look at what they did to Jordy Nelson.
Browns
did
or Seahawks?
A great job containing him.
Seahawks are like, where are they?
I think they've got to be a top three DST this week.
They're number one for me.
Number one?
I think they're two for me.
The chalk defenses get a little help. St. Louis goes into San Francisco, so the 49ers. I actually was going to put them on this list, but I thought it was a little too obvious. Anybody sees San Francisco on, they're going to pick them up. They're owned in 80% of leagues. So a lot of people dropped them for their bye week and dropped them, obviously, because they've been struggling. But they should get a big boost. And then Seattle, if you've been holding tight, no better situation than Derek Carr going, what's this noise?
About the Eagles. You know, the Eagles are an interesting defense.
Eagles aren't bad.
Their defense kind of stinks, but their special team's so good. But this week they have Houston.
Special team's a little bit hurting with Alex Sproles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he might be back. Browns or Broncos?
DST?
Yeah.
Oh, Browns.
Yeah.
Easy, right?
You can't go with the Broncos.
No, you're right. You can't go with the Broncos or the Patriots this week. And let's do some emails. Pick up Cody Parkey, Chandler Catanzaro, Phil Dawson, Blair Walsh, or Shane Graham. Now let's do emails. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. From Chandon from San Diego.
Not South Dakota.
Dear Fry, Bender, and Zoidberg. You guys aren't cool enough.
What's that mean?
Oh, Breakfast Club? No. Bender?
No, it's Futurama. Good guess. I play in a 12-team PPR league, and last week I traded... Oh, Futurama, Dave, is a cartoon on the Hallmark Network.
Why do you think he watches the Hallmark Network?
You were late for the podcast.
I saw... my wife was watching some romance movie over the weekend, and I said that it was a scary movie.
Favorite horror movie?
Saw.
Really?
One that scared me the most as a kid was Poltergeist.
Poltergeist, yeah. I don't think I've ever seen that start to finish.
I forget how old. I think I might have been like six when
Saw
is
really a terrible pick. That's just the first one that popped
up. Saw's a great movie.
It is a great movie, but...
Halloween is easy for me.
Yeah.
When I saw Poltergeist, I didn't sleep for like a week.
You should rent The Poltergeist. The weird... trauma movie. All right, anyway, 12-team PPR, I traded Vereen and Cameron for Gronk and Sankey. And I traded Cobb for Calvin Johnson. How did I do?
Vereen and Sankey for who?
Vereen and Cameron for Gronk and Sankey.
So Vereen and Cameron for Gronk.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Hey.
And
both trades are... The Cobb-Megatron trade for me is fair at this point. And I think you killed on the Gronk trade.
From Phil in the Windy City. Dear
Phil?
Dear Thurman, Jim, and Andre. You guys aren't cool
Bills.
Enough to know that.
Bills.
Oh, yeah, you are cool enough. With Rodgers on a bye, do I stick with Romo or pick up Big Ben or Palmer?
I want to see how Romo does in practice first. I mean, what if he ends up not playing in this game against Arizona? Or if he only
if he came back in the
Friday?
Game. Look, if the report is just a contusion and he came back in the game, and obviously, there's no setback. He's going to play. So
right. If you're this specific owner, though, I feel like you should probably pick up Big Ben or Palmer.
Well, I'd rather have both for this week.
All three of these guys are in my top 10.
Yeah.
But pick someone up so in case Romo doesn't play, you're not stuck without
him. Why would you not pick him up anyway? Just, you know, you got Romo's bye coming up in two weeks.
It's obviously a shallow league. You got Rodgers.
He has Rodgers and Romo?
Yeah.
Oh. So, yeah, you cut Romo. If all those guys are on waivers, you just cut Romo.
So Big Ben or Palmer?
Big Ben.
I like Palmer better.
Really?
I do.
From Angel from Milwaukee. Grade the trade. 12-team PPR. Give up Emmanuel Sanders. Get Vernon Davis and Justin Forsett. He's already got Gronkowski. Why would you do that, dude?
Yeah, don't do that.
Well, he's got Ellington, Sankey, and Pierre Thomas, and Doug. Okay, so he's doing it for Forsett. Excuse me. So you give up Sanders, you get Vernon Davis and Justin Forsett.
Hmm.
And he has Gronk?
He has Gronk, but his running backs stink.
I would do it.
Yeah, I would trade Sanders to get a better running back.
Yeah. You should be able to get a better running back. Yeah. It's enough.
It's a D plus. 10-team standard league. Drop Vincent Jackson and or Crowell for LaFell, Martavis Bryant, Moncrief, or Jonas Gray. This is from Will.
If Will needs a receiver, he should drop Crowell for LaFell, then Bryant, then Moncrief. And even if he does need a running back, I guess he could drop him for Gray. He could potentially drop both for LaFell and Gray.
Who do you think is going to be better rest of season, Vincent Jackson or Brandon LaFell?
What team is Vincent Jackson going to play on?
Tampa Bay.
Nobody's picking up that contract.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And I don't think he's going to renegotiate it. I want to say Jackson still.
Okay. Pete from Cleveland. Dear Kurt, Dave, and Christ.
A mulatto, an albino, a mosquito, a libido.
I've been offered Marshawn Lynch for Chris Ivory, A or F. Give up Ivory, get Lynch.
Lynch is the topic of the trade values this week, and people might want to trade him now because he's got a tough schedule coming up. I know he's got Oakland this week, Giants at home the week after that, but between weeks 12 through 16, he plays the Cardinals and 49ers twice each.
Wow.
That's tough. And then two road games at Kansas City, at Philadelphia. So it is not the easiest schedule, and if he continues to not get work as this team is seemingly transitioning into being a Russell Wilson-led team, then he's going to hurt your fantasy team badly.
ARF, give up.
It's enough.
Ivory
to get
Lynch.
It's just not. I think you can get more than that for Marshawn Lynch.
You can't trust Chris Ivory to stay healthy.
No, you're not getting Ivory. You're getting Lynch. You're giving up Ivory.
Oh, then yeah, that's an A.
You'd give up Ivory for Lynch?
Yes. I would give up Ivory for Lynch.
If for just this week only.
That's stupid. Not playing for 1 week here. You playing for a championship.
You can't.
Well, what if you're three and
if
five?
If they're both healthy,
you're playing
rest
for a championship now.
If they're both healthy rest of season, Ivory might be better.
Ivory's been better the last 3 weeks.
You know, I mean, like, look, it doesn't sound crazy.
But you know who else has been better the last 3 weeks?
Yeah, but would it sound crazy to say that about Amon Bradshaw 3 weeks?
The last 3 weeks? Who? Darren McFadden.
I always love how I get painted in a corner to defend the guy that ice clips a bust. It's happened a
lot
this year.
No, but, I mean, it's not about Lynch. I'm fine trading for Lynch. But I think who's not buying into Ivory at this point?
I'd like Ivory.
I don't mind buying into Ivory, but I'm not paying Marshawn Lynch to buy into Chris Ivory. Like it's
different between, you know, trading Ivory to get Lynch and trading Lynch to get Ivory. Like it's just kind of
sure. I'm not trading Lynch
team.
To get Ivory.
I understand this guy is not
yet.
Doing that either. He's trading.
I might have to do
he's
that
trading Ivory to get Lynch, but I think there's some downside there because Lynch hasn't been good.
Right.
And you know what? The truth is he hasn't been good as a running back for most of the year, other than Week One. You know,
no, he had a couple of big games.
He had one game
he's
over 88 yards rushing.
Games. He's had four
but he's been catching
games.
Passes, which is not his M.O.
Oh, that's so bad.
He's Chris Johnson.
But it's not his M.O. That's if you can't rely on it. Now, he almost caught a touchdown last week.
And he had a touchdown run called back the week
before. That was a 9-point swing for Russell Wilson.
That was big. But I guess what I'm trying to say is Marshawn Lynch, as a runner, hasn't really been that good this year.
Let's see how he
hasn't been that productive. I know, but Ivory's been great.
I think a lot of people who have Lynch are going to hold on to him this week, and I think then half of those people, if he has a big game against Oakland, will try and sell him. If he has a bad game against Oakland, they're all going to try and sell him, but they won't be able to get anything good. You might have to settle for Chris Ivory next week in trade.
He's averaging 4.3 yards per carry, and since week one.
Who is? Marshawn?
Yeah.
That's so terrible.
Week one, 110 yards. Week three, 88 on 26 yards. And other than that, he hasn't been over 72.
It's been opportunity more than anything else. The thing that stands out to me is that he only has two games with over 20 carries, or 20 or more carries.
That's true.
And three games with 20 or more touches.
All right, we're done. We're done here.
Four games with 20.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome, Adam.
And happy Halloween week, everyone. I wanted to do something fun for Halloween week. I forgot, so I'll say it tomorrow. I'll ask it on Twitter. I want to get some costume ideas.
We're already booked. We already have our costumes picked up.
No, not for us. Just I want to know what people are wearing this year. And don't say Ebola, because I don't find it funny. Getting a lot of that stupid Ebola jokes lately.
Are you?
How do you dress up as Ebola?
One of my friends wants to go as Ebola. I'm like, that's not cool, man. Don't do that.
But a lot of people going is like, you know, medical costumes with Ebola.
Yeah, I don't think that's funny. I think that's wrong. But I'm done preaching.
What if you go as Boa? Larry Boa.
You'd have to be a snake, like be a boa constrictor.
Or a boa constrictor.
Yeah. I know a lot of people are going as Marlins man now.
Oh, yeah, what's up with that? Marlins man.
I just read up about
that. I heard yesterday that he went from like 200 followers to 13,000.
He's going to pass me. All right, that's it. I'm out. Bye.